from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon. Dusty Likens in for Cody today. Club 610 coming up, 1 o'clock hour. Might just do Club 610 all day today, honestly.
Who says no?
That's true. We could.
Why can't you do it?
We could definitely do that.
I'll get in my phone. I'll call a few ladies.
You can still do that anyway.
You know, you and I, we share a lot of the same women.
And the, and the 1 o'clock.
One drop yesterday?
1 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. You and I go back and forth with women sometimes.
1 o'clock hour, Club 610. Our friend Andrew Jay Rieger and Co. going to join us in studio. He's going to mix up a couple drinks for us. We'll have a good time sending everybody into the weekend. We also have three qualifying spots today.
Mm.
Three for our college football video game tournament. Of
not
course,
one, not two.
That's right. But three.
But three.
July 23rd is the tournament. So do not call in and try to qualify unless you're actually going to be at Hy-Vee Arena on July 23rd. I was also told yesterday, though, that we will have an extra game console for people to play if you're not actually playing in the tournament.
Oh, the loser's bracket.
So I don't
know. That's where I'll be.
So I guess somebody was asking, can they just show up?
What?
Maybe. Maybe so.
Don't give false advertising.
Hy-Vee Arena. Well, Hy-Vee Arena's not closed and locked down. Why not?
My wife actually might be showing up with me.
Boy. You're bringing your wife to the tournament?
She was like,
she's probably better than you are at the game.
Well, she was like, when is it? And I said, it's on Tuesday the 23rd. She goes, I'm going to be off that day. And I was like, do you want to come? And she was like, yeah, let's do it.
She come to poker tournaments too?
I don't participate in any of those, so no.
It's a sport.
Oh, boy, we're not doing that. We are not starting there. But anyway,
help.
Three.
Jeez.
Drew's already fired up. Dusty's already hit a nerve.
It took a second for me to realize what you said.
Uh-huh.
He did the
at 11:45 today at 12:30 and 1 o'clock. Those are your chances to qualify for the college football video game tournament. Remember, the winner of the tournament's getting a gaming console, getting some football tickets, getting a jersey. But you have to sing a fight song on the air in order to qualify. So at those times, be the first caller. We'll remind you a couple times before we get there, like we've done all week. And be ready. Start practicing the fight song. We'll be good to go. So far, the best fight song in the individual was yesterday, who sung the Georgia fight song. And I apologize, I forgot his name. But he sung the Georgia fight song.
I think
song.
It was Richard.
No.
I don't believe it was, Dusty.
I believe it was Michael, but let me go check.
I'm going to guess we're all wrong.
It was Michael. Yep.
Okay.
Someone wants the bracket for the tournament will be announced before the day. I don't know. Honestly,
whoever plays me, it's an automatic win. I'm like the play-in game that somehow has to play like Kansas in round one. I haven't played a video game. That's a lie. I just inherited a Nintendo 64, so I've been playing Mario Golf, which I feel like a weirdo in my 30s.
That was a great game back in the day, though.
Oh, dude, it's awesome, and it still holds up.
You've got some help, though, because you're playing with an 87 overall team.
And you're going to be Colorado.
I have the best quarterback and best receiver
on the game. You're the opposite of them, though. You're already trying to lower expectations with no hype and seeing how you perform. They choose to do it the opposite way.
I don't want
to
hear no bull junk.
So be listening today, 913-586-7610, Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. First thing when I walked in today, Dusty said, I had a question for you. Mm-hmm. You asked me a question, and what was that question that you asked me right when we walked in today?
Do you still believe that the AL Central belongs to the Cleveland Guardians?
Well, I don't believe it belongs to Tennessee. Then the Twins are much, much closer than the Royals. If you're asking me, do I think the Royals are
Do you think the Royals have still zero chance to win the AL Central? I don't know. Zero might be harsh, but a slim chance to win the AL Central.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on Monday. And nothing's changed. What has changed since Monday? I said on Monday, I do not believe we should be focusing on the AL Central. It's all about the wild card now, which is fine. This team won 56 games last year. And they're a great spot with a good weekend series, which we'll talk more about throughout the show, against Boston. Mm-hmm. They could be in a playoff spot by Monday morning.
I think that, have we seen, though, Cleveland kind of falter yet? And this is where I would debate the topic. Have we seen Cleveland falter? Which the answer would probably be no. They've probably been one of the best three teams in baseball, right. I would say, out in the American League at least. They haven't really had a point in their season where it's been a oh blank moment. Like, something's up, something's not right, we're out of it, we're in a funk. And we know the Royals have had that. They went through a 20-game stretch where they were, you know, everybody's like, oh great, here we go, your stupid Caribbean Royal Cruise thing isn't working, it's over. Like, this team's
that's
now
the big cruise guy.
Never been on a cruise, but you get it. And the thing that I think is wild is that maybe now, and it's a small sample size, but maybe now we've seen Cleveland hit that moment or that lull in a season, which we're approaching the dog days of summer. When you go out today after the show, you'll feel it. But they just dropped 3 of 4 in Detroit. That's pretty big. That's 3 out of 4. Now, again, you'll defend your take here in a little bit because of what really didn't matter in the standings. But 3 out of 4 to Detroit. Royals are going to Boston. We know that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But maybe this is a sign that everybody is human in the AL Central, because for a while, everybody in the AL Central was just playing out of their minds. Detroit at one point was. The Royals, obviously, the Twins and the Guardians all were playing great. There were 4 teams above 500. There were 4 total teams above 500 in the National League at one point a long time ago. And now maybe this is where we have seen, maybe this is that point where Cleveland, everything starts to kind of catch up. They don't have their Cy Young ace on their staff. Their bullpen is starting to kind of have some struggles. And they just got beat 10-1 yesterday by Detroit. I get it. It's a 4-game series. The Royals have lost their fair share of 4-game series. They've lost 3-game series, whatever. But the Royals come off a sweep. They come off 2 bye days. They come off 2 off days. They come off a sweep. And not only that, I thought my girlfriend was out there. And but now they go into a series where maybe things are starting to turn around. The bats are starting to go out there. So, and somebody says, also, Dusty, you tweeted that you would be watching the Volleyball Olympics the entire time. I said, if I was in Paris, that seat would be where I would stay the entire time. Get it right. But I think this is a point where, big series for the Royals, Cleveland kind of shows a little bit, and Minnesota kind of struggled against Chicago this past week, too. So, like, this is the time where you can make up some ground. I get they're 7 games out. The division was never really the standard of this year, is to be competitive and to maybe make a playoff push towards a wild card. But I kind of have some sort of belief that this might be the first sign that we've seen all year where Cleveland's starting to shuffle their feet.
So it's the problem is it's not just Cleveland, right? You got to jump 2 teams. It's not just about getting to where Cleveland's at. You have a Twins team that's in front of you by a couple games as well. So you need to leapfrog 2 teams to get there. I just think the focus should be the wild card race. And you're right, the Guardians haven't had their huge long losing streak. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Anything like that. Here's why I think they have shown enough. Remember, early in the season, Stephen Kwan, who is one of the better offensive players in the league, he missed a month. And that didn't impact them at all. That was when that was back in mid-April to mid-May or so.
Sure.
Since he's come back, he's been very good. Shane Bieber got out in this for the season, 3 weeks into the season? That's basically been their whole year, and they haven't lost any ground, and they've, as you said, been one of the best teams in baseball. So they've already had 2 of their better players get hurt. One's done for the year, Cy Young candidate guy and Shane Bieber, and it hasn't impacted them. We shall see. Here's the thing. If we're going to say it hasn't impacted them yet, then we have to acknowledge what could still be an issue for the Royals in August or September. on top of this for the division race, maybe even for the wild card race. And that is, out of all the great pitching we're seeing, they have a top three rotation in baseball. There is still going to be a time in mid-August, in September, an answer that we don't have yet, which is what happens when the innings workload gets up there. On one hand, we can use it as a positive when we bring up, man, look at all the innings they're getting from starting pitching. They're not after using the bullpen. That's a positive. The potential downside is in August, September, when Seth Lugo's pitching more innings than he ever has in his career. Is he less effective? Or are you worried about injury? Same thing applies for Cole Reagan. Same thing applies for most of the rotation. So that's the only thing. There are still other issues that could arise for the Royals as well along with this. Wild card is attainable. You go make a move or two at the deadline. There's no reason they can't be in this wild card race the entire season or the back half of the season. Mm-hmm. And as we said, with Boston this weekend, if you go out and perform well against them, you could actually be in a playoff spot at the All-Star break, which would be something. But I think the AL Central is a conversation that I won't say wasting our time. I have chosen, as of basically this past weekend, to not worry about the AL Central. I will gladly eat crow in September if they're in first place. I'll make money if that happens, so I'm fine with that. Yeah. I just don't believe it.
And again, I don't think my goal is ever the Central. I've been pretty adamant to say, and I know that's not what you're saying, but the thing is that we talked yesterday about how expectations can change throughout time of a season, right? We bring up the Mahomes analogy of what it was his first year as a starter. But the thing is like goal number one this year, be a different product than the past. That's totally checked. That's done. Goal number two was maybe make a playoff push the way you're playing. That's still in the water. They're only a game out. They have a big series coming up. They win 2 out of 3. They're then a game ahead of Boston. They're back in the picture. But to say that there's not a far sketch cry that you could take the Central and where you could kind of see things maybe pivot in a different direction is Brady Singer's been great. 4 of the last 4 starts have been good. You just got Chris Bubich back. Maybe that helps a little bit in your bullpen and gives you a little bit of strength and a little bit of, you know, had to take a line from Chet Stedman. And then General MacArthur seems to kind of get his group back. So things are kind of trending upwards for the Royals in this small little sample window that is a long baseball season. And things look as if maybe Cleveland is starting to have a little bit of wear and tear. Now, we have an All-Star break coming. Everybody's at that point where they're just ready for a break. They're ready to just rest and be there. But you look at what the Royals have, 3 against Boston. You come back from the break and you get the crummy White Sox who are like, what, like 33 games out of first place?
Yeah, they have 6 against them this month still.
Right. So you can gain ground there. And I'm not saying, but I'm saying that if we look at ourselves at the end of July and this team is 4, 3.5 games out of first place, solidified as a wildcard team, we're having a very different conversation in August. And that would be...
You think they're going to be only 3 back of the AL Central at the end of the month?
I said if they are.
But do you think they will be?
I don't know. I can't tell the future.
Well,
I am not Miss Cleo.
Yeah, but like we're on Sports Talk Radio where we try to prognosticate a little bit. Like I'm just asking,
I'll tell you this. I think they'll be fewer than 7 games out.
Okay, that's fair.
Whether that's 6.5, better, whether that's 5.
They better be, though. Like if you're trying to tell me that, hey, I shouldn't give up on the Central, then you're telling me they almost have to be within 4.5 games at the end of the month.
And I don't think if this continues, that the Royals can continue to trend in a way which is maybe they figured something out on the road with their offensive bats. Maybe Chris Bubich being back and giving you some stability in that bullpen. Yeah. Brady Singer really figuring out as your third starter, plus you already have 2 All-Stars ahead of him. And all of a sudden, maybe we look back and we're like, man, remember when they were 7 out? Now, they still may not win the division, but to be a wild card team and to have a parlay with fighting for the division throughout the entire rest of the second half, that's a beautiful thing because you don't know if Cleveland can sustain it. You don't know if the Royals can sustain it. But right now, the trend on the graph is the Royals are ticking upward right now and Cleveland is struggling right now. They just lost 3 of 4 to Detroit. And
yeah,
now they've, you know, and I'm just saying like it's a conversation to be had that it's not, I guess the narrative of the conversation is the AL Central crown is not to me solidified belonging to the Cleveland Guardians.
I don't think it belongs to the Guardians. I also just think the Twins are in better spot than the Royals are for that.
They are. They're above them in the rankings, right. But, or in the standings. But again, like that just leads me to believe that yes, you've got to leapfrog Minnesota, but to think that Cleveland's just going to run away with it. Like a lot of people thought a week ago, that conversation needs to be thrown in the trash because, I mean, this thing is going to be, I think, a 3-team race until the end of the season.
I hope you're right. I mean, I hope that's the case. I mean, for it to be a race, though, if we get to the middle of August, it can't also be 7 back for it to be a race, though.
I don't think that they will be by the end of July.
I hope that's the case. And if that actually happens, then fine. We'll get into this again a little bit later on in the show, and we can talk some more about the race. I would just say lastly before we move on that, you know, the idea like the Guardians are playing so much worse than the Royals. The last 10 games, they're both 5-5. Like it's not like the Royals are 8-2 and the Guardians are 2-8. Like,
yeah.
They're both 5-5 their last 10 games. But I would certainly love to be talking in 2 weeks about the Royals being within 4 games. But we'll see if that actually ends up happening. Yesterday, though, on the show, you and I were talking about some afternoon baseball. We were keeping an eye on, all right, you wanted to put a bet in on something. So we looked at the Pirates game, Paul Skeens. We ended up looking at some strikeout bets.
Mm-hmm.
He goes well over the original total of 8.5.
Was it 8 or 7.5?
7.5. Then we do the alt line, which was 9. And he ends up with 11 strikeouts yesterday. So the bet's cash.
Yep.
If anybody was following, we had someone tweet at us or whatever. I think they tailed
us. A couple people, yeah.
On that as well. And that's great. I mean, he's sensational. We already knew that going into yesterday. There's a report out today from Bob Nightingale that it looks like he's going to be the NL starter for the All-Star game, which, no-brainer.
Duh.
He should be.
If MLB knows what they're doing.
Yesterday could have been even better, though, man.
Yeah.
Could have been even better. He had a no-hitter going late in that game against the, I guess it was
Brewers.
The Brewers.
Yep.
And he has 99 pitches, and Derek Sheldon, their manager, pulls him.
Yep.
He had only thrown 6 pitches the prior inning.
They even asked Livy Dunn about it at the ESPYs.
Did they really?
Yeah, there's audio. We can get it. I can get it during the break. They asked her about him getting pulled.
They're asking her.
Yeah, dude.
Unbelievable.
Lean into it. Make her the Taylor Swift of baseball.
Fine. Look.
If he starts the All-Star game, they need to pander her every strikeout that he throws. But anyways, what you're alluding to, Bob Nightingale, the All-Star pitcher won't be announced until Monday, but every indication is pointing towards Paul Skeens, the rookie for the Pirates. Torey Lovullo for the Diamondbacks. All these starters are deserving, but in particular, Paul Skeens. He's been an unbelievable addition to Major League Baseball, and he's created a lot of interest in Major League Baseball. And I'm going to be situationally aware of that when I'm making the decision. Skeens would be the first rookie pitcher to start the All-Star game since Hideo Nomo in 1995.
Well, at least they might be situationally aware in that decision, because yesterday I don't think their manager was in pulling Paul Skeens there in Pittsburgh.
He had also thrown over 100 pitches,
and
they don't
that,
want the Steven Strasburg thing to happen.
I get it. I totally get it. But also, and I think it was Trevor Plouffe, who former big leaguer, who acknowledged this, that for some reason we've created 100 pitches as this like arbitrary number. Like, oh, it's 100. That's can't go over. Like, we've just made up this number and said 100 is the number. Not actually looking at like was his velocity starting to tick down? Was he actually wearing down? No, Derek Sheldon, the manager of the Pirates, said that he thought he was wearing out the inning before, but Paul Skeens had thrown 6 pitches before that, the prior inning. So he had a quick inning, right? He's at 99. He threw 106 the outing before, so they've let him go over 100 before. And in this season of 10 outings for Skeens, 4 of them he's gone over 100. So like that's what I'm saying. Like 100 pitches is not necessarily the mark. It's they claim he was wearing down. And yeah, you got to be cautious. He's a young pitcher. He's pitching more innings than he ever has in his career. But that doesn't that go back to a conversation you and I just had yesterday about Major League Baseball and the NBA TV rights and just trying to solidify your stars in the game and all that? I get it. It was a Thursday afternoon at two in the afternoon. Mm. And so I don't want to act like it was on national television and everybody was watching.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't.
Anybody that points out, like, do it for the fans. Do it for the Pirate fans. I mean, I don't think there were people glued to their television all across the country at 3 in the afternoon. So I don't want to make it seem like it was that. But this is the kind of stuff that annoys the casual fan of baseball.
Correct.
History is on the line. Look, you leave him out till it gets to, I don't know, I don't even want to set a pitch number because it's not about the pitch number. We've made it about that. It's about, is he actually feeling the wear and tear of his arm, or are you worried about that? Wait till he gives up a hit, or there's a number. If he goes out the next inning and gives up a hit, then obviously you pull him. If he all of
Which
a sudden,
is what the guy did that replaced him. First batter he faced, base hit.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, that then we're not even having this conversation. Or if he goes and he gets into the, you know, there's 2 outs in the next inning, but he had to throw 15 pitches to get the second out. Okay, at that point in time, maybe you start to consider it. I think sometimes we look at a flat out 100 pitches and we act like that's the benchmark. That's not true. It shouldn't be.
I think it's just the unfortunate part about it is that it's kind of a double blade here, because if we want to see this guy continue and be the superstar that he is, you have to worry about longevity, which.
But why did he pitch 106 the game before? You know what I mean? Like, it's not a pitch number thing.
And he was at 100 and I think either that or like 99 or 101 in this game. So,
99, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, five, six pitches, he's going to hit the same thing. But it's like, if we want to see something last a while, we have to take care of it. That's just the common thing, right? And the other part about it is that we also, as a fan and as radio hosts, want to see a sport that is dying quickly have a resurgence, and this is the savior of that, right? Paul Skeens is everything that baseball should lean into. So, and I think the problem is that we get two sides of the argument. Like, I'm with you, man. As soon as they pulled him, because like I got home and Binkley's like, hey, did your bet hit? I'm like, it did. He goes, are you watching Skeens? I'm like, absolutely. And then I sent him a text like, they pulled him. And I saw the tweet and said it, and I saw Fesco was like, this is insanity, blah, blah, blah. But again, like, yes, I wanted to see it, but I also understand it. It breaks my heart, but it also felt good that we cashed in on it.
Someone from the 816 says he's 22 years old in his first year. If we were Pirates fans, I'd get his ass out too. Don't want to risk health. That's my question.
I'm with that.
But what if it's easy to say though, from when you're not in that moment, I guess,
sure,
to localize it. If it was Cole Reagans in his rookie year. Okay. And this weekend he had this last night, same situation, Royals fans who haven't had a whole lot of winning, much like Pirates fans here as of late.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a chance to make history. You're telling me every Royals fan would have said, pull them out. Or would we all have been saying, give the fans some chance to witness some history? I think we'd be saying that. It's very easy from the outside also on both ends, right? Like, yes, on one hand, leave him in. It's not our guy. But also, if you were a Pirates fan, I bet you they wanted to see history as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's a double blade. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to describe because of the way that baseball is. It's also insane if you watch his pregame workouts. I don't know if you've watched those videos or not.
No, I haven't.
It's very, very, like, tedious. And it's, like, he's got, like, the rubber bands out. He's got, it's weird. You can just search it. It's like Paul Skeens pitching warm-up. But again, like, I'm with that texter. Like, I mean, I still don't want to see Cole Reagans throw a bunch because he's coming off two Tommy John surgeries. Like, I don't want to see him go over a ton of pitches. That's just the way baseball is. Hence, that's why there's now a stat called a quality start, because pitchers don't go 8, 9 innings.
So tonight, who's pitching? Brady Singer, right?
No. It's Reagans, Lugo, Singer.
Sorry, so Reagans is pitching tonight. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me tonight, if he has a no-no in the eighth inning and he's at 102 pitches, you want him to pull
this
him out?
This is the eighth inning. This isn't the sixth, what Skeens got to. This is the eighth inning.
I thought it was the seventh inning yesterday.
Well, he would have came out to the seventh. He only went six.
But so it would have been. But it would have been the seventh inning, though. Like, you know what I mean?
And then I'm on your strategy. Go out in the eighth inning.
Okay.
If you're coming up and Devers gets a single, you're done.
Well, yeah, because then history is not on.
Because it's the eighth inning. Now, if Reagans has a no-no and it's the top of this going into the top of the seventh, and he's throwing 102 pitches. I would assume. I don't know, because Q's a different sort of coach than maybe Pittsburgh's is. Maybe he takes him out. But, I mean, we've seen this from other teams, too, where there's a combined no-hitter. There's all these things happening.
Yeah, combined no-hitters, I don't even care about. I mean, they're combined not really. No-hitter,
yeah, it doesn't mean the same.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, different scenario. If it's if he's going into the eighth inning and he's at 101 pitches, he's got a no-hitter going, yes, let him try to finish it out. If it's the sixth inning, he's at 101 pitches, no-hitter, it's going to break.
It's not a pitch number. This is how I'm using it, too. But, like, that's my issue, I guess. I was guilty of it using the number as well. I think that's the problem. Is we've for whatever reason we've all decided, like, man, 100, that's a lot. That's a lot of pitch. Oh, 108, that sounds great.
That's where it's at today, though.
But I understand the velocity is up on these pitchers compared to where some of them. But like we all know, like whether it was Nolan Ryan, other pitchers. I mean, some of these guys were throwing way over 130, 120 mm-hmm. pitches. So it's just bizarre. We've created this number.
Yeah.
Like, as much as we have data now, like some of the data should be able to tell you if it's too much for a pitcher, more than it is just this flat out number.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I mean, we just we're branded in a sports world today with baseball where that's what it is. It's the same thing with like batting average doesn't matter anymore. It's about OBP, OBP plus and slugging and all that sort of thing. It's not, I mean, I've seen my dad have conversations with me about this where he's like, this guy's hitting 251, but I'm like, look at his slash line, though. He's got, you know, 1,000 on base percentage. He's or 1,000 plus slug. He's on base 755, like stuff like that. He's like, I guess I just don't get it. It's like Luis Arraez is one of the best hitters in baseball, but his slash line is because he just gets singles. That's just the way that is. And pitching's the same way. You get to like, because I do it too. We'll go to games, right? We'll see the thing on the thing. You're like, oh, man, it's fifth inning. Singer's already at, like, 79 pitches. Ugh, he's not going to go much longer. And he might get 0 runs and 2 hits, but you're like, man, I really want to get the – that's why it's so hard. Okay, Skeens went 7 yesterday, my bad. So
it would have been going to the 8th. That's
would have gone into the 8th.
That would have been the same scenario. I mean, especially, I think that scenario. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
thank you, Joe Summers.
I know that I think the age of the player is part of it, too. Like, if they're 27 and they're at 106, I know that it's just a number, but – if you've, like, Skeens is young enough where he doesn't have the wear and tear that a 27-year-old does on the arm, where if they're at 100 and they're 27, do you pull them where Skeens? Like, look, he's 22. I mean, he's not like...
He's also the future of your franchise.
Yeah, but him, I mean, if it...
If Mahomes had a chance to break the all-time passing yards record and the Chiefs were up 41-17 in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left to go, would you want Andy to trot him out there for like a couple more passes?
The physical nature.
I think he would absolutely be playing to break the record.
All-time passing record, and that we just
is that a bad analogy?
Well, no, so there's a couple issues with it. It's fine. Like, one I would say would be, is that the last game Mahomes is ever playing in his career? That's the only game he ever has a chance to get to the all-time passing record. A no-hitter can only happen in that moment. All-time passing record, if he has a whole other season to play, then no, I wouldn't put him back out
there. They won't even do a QB sneak for a half a yard with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He can't even play basketball.
And I think it's and I think that's crazy, too.
So, kind of the same? I don't know. I mean, just football is just out of pocket. But
physical, but I hear you. The issue with the passing yardage would just be that, unless you knew that was his last game ever he was playing, that was the only game he could break
the record. No, I'm saying it's like week three of this season. Going up against Atlanta, and he's got 509 yards passing.
You're saying
passing.
For a single game.
For a single game, yeah. Record. And he's got 509 passing. I don't know what the
I
single
think he
game
goes
record
out there in place.
They would let him in that
with like 4 minutes left and you're up by 31.
They would let him,
I think he goes in place.
Well, I guess Andy did let Chris go out there and get a sack in the last game of the season.
Yep, and there was money on the line. Mm-hmm. All right, up next, guys, we'll talk a little college football. I didn't realize that this is already something that the College Football Playoff Committee is admitting, and it could end up screwing over all three local schools. I'll tell you why next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hanging out on a Friday, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Dusty Likens with you. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to what normally happens next week, but I guess it was on last night, even though there were a few moments from the ESPYs, including, I guess it got cut off at the end. Like, they messed up because it started later. And
the ending was very, very weird.
It re-aired part of it and then abruptly ended. Like, it was clearly on tape delay anyway, but it was time for the local news, and so a lot of it got cut off, I guess, before the final award was actually announced for the evening.
They replayed part of it, and then all of a sudden it went to credits at the end, and it was done.
So they gave him the Billy Joel treatment?
So I didn't watch it, but there were a few highlights. We'll play a few things from that coming up in just a little bit. But we had talked college football quite a bit this week, actually, with Big 12 Media Days going on. There was some notes. Yesterday we talked realignment a little bit. There was one comment that went under the radar a little bit, and I'll give credit to a reporter named John Bishop, and he pointed out when there was media availability for the Big 12 media days, they had someone from the college football playoff up there. And it was the college football playoff commissioner, Rich Clark. Okay. Mm. And he talked about the college football playoff. One interesting answer, though, he was asked how the at-large spots are going to be selected. Right. Mm. So we know the expanded playoffs, but the at-large spots. And he says that, quote, there's a lot of factors that are going to go into this. Weather is going to be a factor because the game later in the year in the winter than they normally would. Hotels are a factor. Do they have the level of hotels that would need to be expected for a playoff game and the availability when we need it? Everything from ticket sales to managing how we distribute the tickets, it's not a game they have been planning on for 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. Maybe it already happens. We just don't know it. We're hearing now that you're going to have determining factors on who makes the playoffs based on who might have more hotels.
Terrible.
That's insane. This isn't a bidding thing for who gets to host the Super Bowl. This isn't a bidding thing for who gets to host the national championship game or anything like that. Or an all-star game. You got to make sure you have the World Cup. You got to make sure you have the infrastructure. We're talking about a college football playoff where a committee is supposed to select, being unbiased, what teams get in. We already have complaints about bias towards the SEC and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And now you have the commissioner of the playoff openly discussing that, oh yeah, weather, you know, you got to be careful. So if you're a cold weather team, let's use the three locals, your Mizzou, your KU, your K-State, you're going to be at a disadvantage because a school in Florida has a similar resume, but they get nice 75 degree weather and we got 20 degrees in snow.
Hate to see
That's BS.
Right.
Complete BS.
Yeah. BCS.
Dollar signs.
That's what it is, right? I mean, that's when it all comes down to. Also, when did we just like lose our chest hair to like football? Like now you can't play in cold weather, Buffalo. You know, you can't play college but football because they don't have certain. It seems like they're trying to, you know, do something without saying they're doing something. Like, yeah, I'll play if it's, you know, Friday and it's between the hours of 9 and 11. It's like, oh, so what you're saying is you don't want to, and this is what that is. It's, oh, well, they don't have this, they don't have this. But you know who does? Every major state in the United States, California, Texas, Florida, you know, whatever, New York, which New York would be cold too. But of course, then it would be like, that's where it would really get annoying, is if it was like, well, we don't do it here because of like temperatures and availability. And they go somewhere where it's extremely cold, and they're still playing outdoors, and it's like, it's not really that
they
big of a
Rutgers
difference.
They want Rutgers to host in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Yeah, dude.
Rutgers gets mentioned a lot on this show.
Rutgers does. The football team is actually a lot better than what it was a little bit ago. But I think that it's really interesting. Because if you look at the idea of weather playing a factor, you've already eliminated at least probably 75 schools off the list of potential places that you could even play.
I'm surprised this hasn't gained more traction. It flew under the radar. Maybe it is just that we already assumed this was going on, and so nobody cares. But for the commissioner of the new college football playoff setup with expansion to openly say, yeah, there's a lot of factors, but we're gonna count weather. We're gonna say who has better hotels, basically. And so we already have known it's all about money. That's why realignment has happened. Of course it's about money. We're not naive to that. But for an expanded playoff to think that, when we see the committee ultimately select who gets in as an at-large team, we're not talking about the automatic qualifiers, but an at-large team, that now if KU or K-State or Missouri don't get in and another school does, we have to wonder if it is because they might have a few more hotels in the area. I mean, that's insane.
I would be furious if I was any of the locals, and let's say they're sixth in the country going into the last week of the season before they play the conference title games. Sunday comes, they're going to reveal the 12 teams that are in the college football playoff. KU has been 7th, 6th the last 2 weeks. All of a sudden, they're ranked 11th because Texas, who was 11, and has now jumped up to 6 because they want to host a game in Texas instead. That I would be fuming.
They make
the playoff, but they don't get the part of, I think, the expansion that was great, along with just including people, is you can the fact that they have the hosting of the games is if you have a really good season and you're Missouri and you go undefeated and you make the SEC title game, say you don't win the game, it doesn't matter, you're 12-1, you should host a playoff game, and that's a huge deal for Columbia. It's a huge deal for the university, for people to go and experience what that college town is like, and you miss out on that.
Someone on the text line brings up a good point, though. It's like they're going to, by saying they're going to use factors, they're going to be able to still pick and choose, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it sounds like they're not going to leave. They're going to leave out Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State because it's cold weather.
Mm. Oregon, no.
You know what I mean?
Hickory, like, Eugene.
If
America lost its brass.
There's no way they're leaving out Michigan, but they easily would leave out a KU or a K State.
Well, I don't
Missouri.
Know if they'd leave them out. It's just that they would be an away team in this,
but that
in
still
this
sucks.
Scenario. Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%.
The college playoffs are not the Super Bowl unless Colorado gets in.
That's right.
I love that text. 913. Love it.
That's where it would be really bad. I hope they wouldn't do this, but if Colorado were to be, say Colorado's undefeated, they're really damn good. If they were to say, you know what, we'll go on ahead and go to Boulder. It doesn't matter whether it's snowing or not. We're going to Boulder because you know what?
Dion might just protest the whole team.
I don't get why they have to make it more complicated by also ruining the fact, because this is
ruined.
Even this is what college football is it's the tradition. It's the atmosphere. It's the college town, it's being in the middle of nowhere, but feeling like you're in a place that's buzzing because it's a college football playoff environment. And you get that in Gainesville, you get that in Tallahassee, but you get that just the same in places like Columbia and Manhattan and other places as well.
And you should be rewarded
Madison,
for a
Wisconsin.
Season that you do well, right? If you're the team, you shouldn't have to go to Miami and play at the Hard Rock Stadium.
So somebody in the text line said, do at-large teams get a home game? Yes, the teams that get buys do not. So the four teams that get buys do not host playoff games.
Yeah, under the new format.
Yeah, because then they go play in all the bowl games. Like
and
the
that was
sugar, the cotton and all
yeah,
that.
That was the debate when the new format was announced. People are like, would you rather have the buy or the home game? And to me, the buy, 100%.
Yeah, sure,
but some people were like, well, I want the home game for the experience. No, you want the easiest path to get to a national title game, which means playing one less game.
Right.
It shouldn't be that complicated, but that was something people brought up.
I just hate that
they cherry pick. They already do it. The committee already cherry picks. Oh, for this team, we can use this reason because it fits our narrative. For this team, we'll pick this reason. And they're just going to do the same thing. But can you imagine if they're going to sit there in late November, early December, and someone's going to ask, why did this team get a first-round home game, and why did this team have to go on the road? Well, you know, it's going to be 22 degrees there. Instead, it's going to be 70 here. Like, that's going to be a real reason they're going to actually say out loud.
I think another question I have is, like, don't you have to plan these things out ahead of time?
No, but that's their reasoning, is that there's not planning, so that's why they're saying everything from ticket sales, it's not a game they've been planning on for 6 months. So they're going to pick an area that is most prepared for it right away.
Which is BS, because, again, if there's no area that wouldn't be prepared for it, because you've got teams that play in Eugene, Oregon in November. Anyways, like the field's already, it's made for those conditions. You just have to,
right?
Like, yeah,
that's also football.
It's not that big of a deal.
Like, that's just football. I don't know where we lost this whole thing of, like, yeah, unfortunately, that's what it is. You're going to sometimes play in December and it might be freaking cold.
Well, and if you even look at the expansion of the Big Ten, so USC now is in the Big Ten. In November, the road game that's going to be the coldest is at Washington. They host Nebraska. They host Notre Dame as part of the last leg of the schedule. They don't go to cold places. I mean, it might be a little bit chilly.
Now, I want to see Georgia
Seattle,
have to go. I want to see Georgia go play at Michigan when it's 15 degrees
just
outside.
Just like we wanted to see Miami come to Kansas City and play in frigid temperatures.
Yes.
How'd that work out? Yes, advantage to Kansas City. Who was the higher seed?
Yeah, now someone
I'm sorry.
We were talking about this off air. And
do better.
We were talking about this off air, and someone on the text line brings it up. And I understand this is just clearly a hypothetical before K-State and MU fans freak out, but this year, KU actually would be in a better position for this not to apply.
For this format,
For this format, because with the stadium construction, they're playing their games at Arrowhead. And if they were to be in position to actually host a first-round game, it would be at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. So there'd be hotels, facility. It would be better set up than a small college town.
Correct. Yeah.
But we'll see if that even obviously comes
to the concept of it, though, is stupid.
What a great, like, sub place to play. Hey, guys, sorry, your stadium's being renovated and everything like that. So we were just going to have you play at Arrowhead.
Definitely worse. And they're going to play, of course, the first two at Children's Mercy Park.
Yeah.
And they play Lindenwood or whatever, which that atmosphere is just going to be interesting to see. It only is going to hold, 20,000? And so, but you're very close to the field. It could be a kind of a cool atmosphere for a few games.
And again, when Texas went to K-State, there were, I'm sure, a lot of Texas fans that went to Manhattan. I understand that there's like a limitation of hotels, but who do we think all is going? The stadium can only fit so many people. Like, it's not like the stadium is fitting and he needs 50,000 more people to be there. It's no different than what a normal game day environment would be like.
Reminder, coming up at 11:45, your first chance today on our show, at least, to qualify for some of those final spots in our college football video game tournament. You'll need to sing the fight song of the school you plan on playing with. Real quick update, you and I were talking about Paul Skeens in the first segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
John Heyman now reporting that he has been named.
Nice.
So not just reportedly, I'll trust Heyman on that. He says he has been named the NL starter.
Let's go.
And so it is official. I believe Major League Baseball just tweeted it out as well. So
get that mustache ready.
That's a no-brainer at this point for...
Yep. Passan's tweeting it. Let's go.
Okay. So that's a done deal. We'll find out about the American League starters. My guess is it's going to be Skubal. I'd love for it to be Lugo, but my guess is it would be Tigers pitcher Skubal at this point.
You think so? See. You think it'll be Lugo?
I mean, that's who I want it to be, but I have a feeling they're going to give it to Skubal. Skubal's the favorite to win AL Cy Young right now.
Good for baseball, man. Good for baseball. Paul Skeens will get the start of the All-Star game for the National League. Get ready for Tuesday night in the bottom of the first inning. It will likely be Paul Skeens versus Gunnar Henderson, yeah. Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge.
I mean, that's awesome.
I am locked the F in, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. That's what baseball should want. That's the stage you want. And guess who's part of it? Bobby Wood Jr. as well. And that's the other part.
And guess who doesn't have to face Paul Skeens? Yeah. Bobby Wood Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I would love that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's true.
Could you imagine if it's Paul Skeens and Bobby Wood Jr. and Bobby Wood Jr. took him house call?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're right, though. We won't get that.
I'd go live naked.
We are not streaming today, thank goodness.
No, yeah, for some reason, we never stream when I'm in.
We did last week, or last time you were on. We streamed it down.
We had it on, and then we took it off.
We streamed on Monday's show. It worked.
Wasn't
set
here.
Up. Worked with Bink.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, set it up the same way. Not working. So that's where we're at.
I feel like there's something else to it.
I don't know. Are you camera shy?
No, I think that there might be some insecurity.
Oh, you don't want to be on. You don't
no,
be
I think
camera.
It's the other way around. I don't think you want
I'm
a challenge
on every day.
Yeah, but you're not on camera with me.
I'm probably
the two best looking guys at 6'10". And if I'm in here, you're like, you know what? We're not gonna have Dusty on camera today.
I mean, if you want to set up the cameras, you can try.
I don't know how to do it. It's not my show. I'm just here because Cody's not.
But
and I bet when Cody comes back on Thursday, I bet those cameras are working.
He's not back on Thursday.
Oh, he's not.
He's back first day we're up at training camp in St. Joe.
Jiminy Christmas.
The computer updated, and I'm not going to play IT support, so I'm going to do my radio show. So we'll see if we can get it figured out by the time we get to...
That's a very 8-10 thing of you to say.
If we can get that set up by the time we get to training camp in a week or two.
Okay.
You know?
I know you're probably not a liar, so I believe you. But I have thoughts.
All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into the Boston series this weekend for the Royals up at Fenway. But you alluded to a little bit when we were talking about Paul Skeens, though. Bobby Wood Jr., hit this stage that he's going to be on next week, and you found some ratings and puts him in serious company, which shouldn't surprise us. It's just reinforcement of where Bobby Wood Jr. stacks up in all of baseball. He was listed among all the great ones in the game right now, and it stood out to you.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think sometimes people will listen to, you know, local sports talk and be like, yeah, we get it. Like, Bobby Wood Jr. is good. Congratulations. I'm glad that you figured that out. And it's like, tell me something different. And every once in a while, you get something that comes up, whether it's a graphic or it's an audio clip or it's a video, whatever it may be, where you're like, oh, I didn't realize that. And I think last year, one of them was like, Bobby Wood Jr. is one of, like, what, four players to have, you know, 50 and 50 in his first year and a half. And it was like the names were like Mike Trout and other names. You're like, okay, that's pretty awesome company that he's in one of those lists. And then I saw one yesterday, and they had, as of July 11th in 2024, they had their top hitter rankings according to Major League Baseball. Number one and number two are no doubters. They're Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. The next two are Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt Jr. To me, I see Bobby Witt Jr.'s name on there, and I'm very happy. But then I see who he's above, and it's names like Juan Soto, Rafael Devers, Stephen Kwan, Yordan Alvarez, Bryce Harper, Freddie Freeman, okay? He's above those guys as of now in MLB's rankings of power rankings. So to see that and to see the names that he's with is very interesting because you look at the markets that he's in. There's New York, there's L.A., there's Boston, there's Houston, there's Philadelphia, and then there's little Kansas City there with the fourth name on the list, and that's not only a name that we all sit back, put our feet on the ottoman, and have somebody come into our house and make me a sandwich, Nick Wrightline, but this is one of those things where now the world sees that. Like, people follow MLB, and they're like, Bobby Witt Jr. They go in, Baseball Reference, oh my God, this guy's a freaking stud. Oh, he's going to be in the All-Star game, and now we can kind of maybe see... Not necessarily yet. We're not there yet with the Mahomes effect, where people in Kansas City clearly know who their guy is. And slowly but surely, Mahomes been doing it for quite a while and has a lot of jewelry to go to it. But now we're going to see Bobby Witt Jr. Let's say he puts on a show Monday night. Let's say he does something in the All-Star game. All of a sudden, we might start hearing about Bobby Witt in Pensacola, Florida, because somebody watched the All-Star game and like, I like that guy. I like Bobby Witt Jr. And you start to see his attention grow. And this is something that obviously helps with that when you're the fourth name on this list and you're only behind Judge, Ohtani, and Henderson.
Look, he's already a star, but we got a reminder of why he's not just a local star, to your point, right? I mean, and you're in the stage. We saw this play out a year or so ago when Julian Rodriguez, his rookie year, the same rookie year of Bobby Witt Jr.,
put on a show.
And he was at the All-Star game in his home stadium, right, in Seattle. It was Julio Rodriguez's weekend. Now, Bobby Wood Jr. doesn't play for the Rangers, but he's back in his home state. He's back in an organization where his dad played for, of course, now for this weekend or this upcoming week in Texas. And he has a chance if he performs well at the Derby or has a nice play. Heck, you know, you never know what happens. You get in the game late, you come with a big hit, and next thing you know, you're the All-Star Game MVP. Like, all that could parlay into an even bigger stage for him as more and more people start to figure him out. I think the big thing baseball has to do is make sure the personality shows. And like, Bobby Wood Jr. is not the biggest personality in the game. I think we know that, right?
Right.
There's other players. That was the issue with Mike Trout, right? Baseball didn't do a good job marketing him, but he didn't want to do a lot of the things that are required. So I think if Bobby Wood Jr. leans into it as well, has some fun with the media, has some fun with fans, all that kind of stuff at the All-Star game,
right,
and they mic him up, and maybe during the Derby he performs well. Like, all that can just continue to build his brand and therefore the Royals brand as well.
And he's also already got a t-shirt made because the Royals leaned into it. The boys are playing some ball.
Sure.
It was something that little that took off. Now, obviously, it's a big season.
That's the slogan of the year. Yeah.
And then who knows, maybe everybody's singing this song. Oh, my computer didn't work. It doesn't work. Okay.
That was a good effort. You know, that was a good effort.
Well, he's the fastest
in the league. He steals the base. Can you sing this?
No, that's Cody's job.
Who sung this?
I'm saying this. Somebody awesome? Every Kansas City fan knows his name, and you know the crowd goes wild when he's sliding to home base.
Drew's done. Turn it up, Drew. Get the people ready. It's Friday, baby. It's Bobby Baseball. Get a free Bobby bobblehead on opening day. Bobby Baseball. Bobby's got a bobblehead coming your way. He's a shortstop. It's Bobby Baseball. See you, Kansas City. Let's go, Bobby. Bobby's got a bobblehead. And he's going for the home run, Bobby Baseball.
That will be in my head for the rest of the day.
Thank you. That's great. That was the retro commercial they did for
that. Yes, sir.
See that?
Look, yes, sir.
Don't tell my co-host. That's the second best maybe royal song I've heard of the entire season.
Damn right.
That was good.
Oh,
Someone says nice to hear a song made by professionals on this show.
Man,
I'll just say the quality.
Everyone with an acting professional.
There was definitely a quality difference with that song.
Oh, man, you can't beat that song,
definitely
baby.
Definitely a quality difference there. That one, you know, like the Pasquantino will be number one. I'll give Cody that. But this song, it surpasses all the other ones.
It's like so good.
It's one of those songs you hear like while you're warming up in Little League or whatever.
Dude.
You know, you're warming up.
It sounds like it's getting ready to be like the start of Reading Rainbow. He's the fastest in the league. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay. He's the fastest in the league. He steals the base. Hitting home runs. I want to get like a blazer, roll the sleeves up, get a pack of cigs, gel my hair back, get some aviators, and just hit the town with this song, dude.
Someone says, does Cody know you're playing other artists' songs on 610? Does he have a musical rival? Whoever sang that, yes. I think that's fair.
Oh, man, that song's awesome.
That was good.
I love it. Is that your first time? No, you heard it, but you forgot about it.
Yeah, I forgot all about it. I saw the commercial on Twitter or whatever they did for it.
When we finish this Royal season, no matter how it ends, that's definitely making my list.
That song will be used for a long time.
I hope.
That song will be used
for a long time. That song sounds like it was made in 1981.
That was the whole point. Because if you watch the video, the video is all retro throwback.
By the way, did you see I'm not a bobblehead collector. Did you see the Sal Perez?
Yeah, that's neat.
That's cool.
You know, they've done
like the glass bubble.
They've done a great job.
That's
up
solid.
Their game on the bobbleheads this year.
And their social media team is amazing.
Yeah. Like if you look at traditional bobblehead is fine, but the Vinny Pasquantino bobblehead that with the Pasquatch on the Hall of Fame, the Pasquatch bobbles as well.
Yeah.
They have the huge, like, they're much more than just the simple player standing head bobbles. Like, they've added a lot more.
The connecting piece of the HDH weekend, that was awesome.
That's why.
Yeah, the Salvador Perez one might be one I might try to get and keep. And I have a Mahomes bobblehead, and I have a Bobby Witt Jr. That one might be the only other one I ever get because it's just so unique and interesting.
Yeah, I'll grab some. I'll keep some, and then we put some in our garage sale. So that's usually what we do. So I'll try to get one of those, and it either ends up at the garage sale. Eventually, they end up back in. Next year, I'm sure we'll have a couple more bobbleheads.
Somebody paid to go out to eat with you, right? Isn't that right? Like $500?
For a bunch of us. So yeah. I went for the most. Barbara and I already had lunch with a listener, and then the same listener's having drinks with Cody at Kelly's.
15K. Baby.
Yeah, man. We were excited about that. We'll do it again. Do it again next year. Maybe next year you got a Dusty. You're doing, when are you guys doing your golf thing, by the way?
We're trying to
golf
get
with the producers,
probably August.
Whatever.
Yeah, probably in August.
Yeah, I need to reach back out to Josh because Josh living in Iowa makes it a little bit tougher to, you know, it's
we
not
want to have a solidified date. Winner so one in, from Iowa?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's got to drive down.
Yeah, or fly. Maybe he's really rich. And he just takes a chopper to swim.
Why don't you guys go golf up there with him, you know? No. Okay.
Look,
I always got quiet. Yes, sir. Not that into it. Okay.
If he wants to set up the tee time,
pay for travel.
But you're often.
What if he did say that would be a
6-10 road trip with Dusty, Drew, and Rob?
You might need a lot of stuff to keep your mind busy because you could only imagine what it's like to be with me in a car for like 8 hours. You've only been with me today for like 4 hours. I feel like you're already spent.
No, I'm not. I know. I am. I'm never spent.
Okay. There's your drop. There it is.
Drew is...
The pause afterwards.
I'm never spent.
Never spent.
Up next, 11 o'clock.
Really?
11 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about this huge series at Fenway, and we got the Trash of the Day. It's a good one today. I promise you, you guys are going to remember a line from Trash of the Day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.